In Judges chapter 13, Samson was born. Little Samson, a Nazarite from the womb. As a matter of fact, God said what Samson would do before Samson was conceived. You can take the abortion issue from there. Before Samson was conceived, God said this is what he's going to do. And Samson was born. And the woman, verse 24 of 13, bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. The Spirit of the Lord began to move him. He was a Nazarite from the womb. He belonged to God from the time of his conception. God says, I'm going to give you a son, but he's mine. And that's a godly family, Manoah and his wife. And Samson, now full grown, went down to Timnah. Okay, stop. Everybody, who runs Timnah? Remember that we talked about the five major cities that the Philistines held? Wasn't that one of them? Well, what are you doing there, Samson? Totally separated unto God? What are you doing there? Have any of you ever been in a place that looked a little awkward for a Christian to be in, and you came walking out and somebody saw you and happened to ask you, what are you doing coming out of there? I got a friend. What are you doing there? Samson, what are you doing? And he saw a woman in Timnah who happened to be a Philistine girl. Now, if he wouldn't have been there, he wouldn't have seen her. He doesn't know her name, but he wants to marry her just the same. Lust at first sight, we call that. Now, you guys aren't experienced in that. It does happen in other places. Hasn't got a clue what this person's like. Doesn't even know she can speak very well, probably. But doesn't matter, when you're in love, you're in love. Right? He shouldn't have been there. But there he goes. This is a man completely separated unto God. He is an example, as a matter of fact, of you and I as a believer in Jesus Christ. We are completely separated, not from the world, but unto God. Big difference. We are separated unto God. What we do because God says to. What we don't do, we do because God says don't do that. That's how we live. We're servants of the Most High. He bought me with a price. I remember a little bitty girl singing, "Oh, victory in Jesus." Remember that hymn? Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. We don't sing words like that anymore. As a matter of fact, the little girl was about 3 years old, and she didn't understand the words, and she said, "He socked me and He punched me." And I think sometimes He ought to. He ought to get my attention. He bought me. He sought me out and He paid for me. And then I still walk around thinking, I'm in control. I'm running the thing. And so Samson goes down to Timnah, sees a woman there of the daughters of the Philistines. Well, he came home and he told his dad and his mom, "I've seen a woman in Timnah." Now, you know, when he came home and he says, "I've seen her, the girl I want to marry. Oh, you got her. She's beautiful." His dad and mom go, "That's really cool. What's her name?" "I don't know. But she is a Philistine girl. Of the daughters of the Philistines. And I want you to get her for me. To be my wife." See, in those days, your parents had to work out all the deals. Your dad, your father would do that. He couldn't just bust on in there and say, "Hey, nice looking girl. I'll take a couple of cows for her." Hey, that's what they do in Africa. As a matter of fact, Michael Saki, our translator, neat guy, we're going to get him to come over here one of these days. He's never been to America. But he asked me to pray for him because he he's engaged, and the family wants 5 cows. I said, are you serious? Is this a joke? I'm American. I believe you. He said, I'm serious. Pray that the Lord would provide 5 cows. I said, is she worth 5 cows? Now, he's in love, man. He says, yes. 5 cows. So he says, I said, won't they just, you're in Nairobi. Come on, this is modern. Won't they take like an engagement ring? Nope, 5 cows. I said, not too many girls are worth that much weight. But it's a lot of beef. But anyway, he said she was. So see, Samson goes to his father and says, I got the girl I want to marry. I want to marry her. You go get her for me. Well, then Samson's dad and his mother, they said to Samson this. They said, is there not a woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you go take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? Now, they love Samson. They want him to be happy. But they said, Samson, in the whole nation of Israel, now there are all kinds of girls in this country that you've never seen, and they're okay to marry. Of all of them, couldn't we find one that you could marry? Now, that's an honest, good, fair question, isn't it? Of all the children of Israel, all the daughters of Israel, couldn't you find one that you could marry? And Samson answered and said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. Now, in the language, if you were going to literal translate to us, she pleases my eyes. Get her for me. I want to marry that one because she pleases my eyes. Oh, Lord, is he in trouble? Now, write this down if you're taking notes. Deuteronomy 7, verses 3 and 4. When God is saying, when I give you the land, here are the things that I want you to do, and here's what I want you to avoid. Do not take or make marriages with them. Those are the people in the land. Your daughter shall not give, or shall you not give unto his son, nor his daughter shall you take for your son. For they will turn away your son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy you suddenly. Don't give your daughters to marry them, and don't let your sons marry their daughters, or it will be trouble for you. Now that is the commandment of God. We have a man that is from the womb, from conception, before he was conceived. God says, I'm going to give you a son, but he's mine. He's separated unto me. He is holy unto the Lord. He's all mine. I will deliver my people. Even remember when my people won't cry out. They're in boiling water and they don't know it. But I'm going to deliver him anyway because I am merciful. So you separate him unto me. When Samson's born, a razor doesn't cut his hair ever. It doesn't touch his head. And so he's got long hair. He's a full-grown man now. And he's separated unto God. And the long hair is that sign. It's an outward sign. Everybody that looks at him goes, oh, dude, that's a Nazarite. That someone is totally separated unto God. But just in form only, an outward appearance only. On the inside, where's his heart? Samson says, I want that one. Well, couldn't you find any girl? Isn't there even one that's kind of cute? No, this one pleases my eyes. But God's word says no. What does Samson say? You get her for me anyway. You hear that, everybody? But God's word says no. You're separated unto God. You are born again. Others could do anything they want, but you are a servant of the Most High. He has bought you. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me before I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I'm his. But she pleases my eyes. Let me read to you a verse in Judges chapter 17. The same language is used. 17 verse 6. In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Well, it just seems like I like that. That's what I want to do. Look, one of Samson's main problems that will destroy him, although he still is a man of God, and he's still mentioned in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11, but he will not complete the assignment because of his, number one, rejection of authority. Samson rejected authority. Number one, he rejected the word of God. And number two, the authority of his parents. God said no. He said, I want to do it anyway. His parents said, come on, let us find you another one. In other words, his parents made it clear that it's against our wishes. We want you to do what God says. And he rejected the authority of the word of God and rejected the authority of his parents. If any of you do that right now, you are headed to have your eyes poked out. That's what's going to happen to him. He'll get a haircut and go blind. Rejecting the authority of the Word of God and rejecting the authority of your parents. Samson rejected authority. And number two, a couple of points here. Not only did he reject authority, but he lacked self-discipline. Samson never learned in his whole life self-control. Do you see that? And you will as we go on. You see it right here. He never learned self-control. Now, as I watch the church, now I don't really consider it the church, but as I watch what's going on in the Christian world, I see a major teaching that's just grabbed hold. And that teaching is teaching against self-control. Teaching just the opposite of self-control. Teaching you to let go, turn loose. The opposite of self-control. Samson never learned it. He never learned it. God specifically said, I do not want you to do that. Now, of all people, Samson, you are mine. You are mine. A Nazarite from the womb. You belong to me. I don't care. I want to marry that one. But your parents are saying, no, we don't want that. Let us find another. No, you get her for me. Now, you'll notice, Samson rejected the authority. She looks good to me. He says, she pleases my eyes. See, in those days, there was no king. They had rejected God as their king in Israel. And every man did what was right in his own eyes. Man, do you see a description of today? Do you know Samson? Well, I don't want to get ahead of myself. We need to accept the authority of the Word of God, and we need to accept the authority of the people that have been placed over us. When your parents tell you no, you need to learn to listen. You need to learn to listen. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. One of the fruits, or part of the fruit of the Spirit, is self-control, self-discipline. And that's something that's lacking in our society today. We're falling apart. We have. And to prove it to you, even the church has to have programs now to get people off of things. They didn't need a program to get on it, but they got to have programs to get off, or programs to get out. Now, where did all that come from? That's not of the Lord. That's a visible lack of self-discipline. I was reading a story about, Mr. Barnhouse. Friend of his donated a whole large crop of strawberries to a farmer who had come to Mr. Barnhouse's services. And that farmer took those strawberries and planted them all. And Mr. Barnhouse says, oh, in early or late spring, near early summer, he drove by the field, and you could just see all the blossoms. You know how they're low, but you could still see the blossoms. And he thought, we're going to have strawberries at the next potluck we're doing. He was thrilled. And the farmer came to church, and he says to the farmer, hey, how have you been? Well, I've really been busy. What you been doing? Well, I just picked off every one of those blossoms in that whole field. And, of course, Mr. Barnhouse thought, oh, you dummy. Those would have been the strawberries. And so Mr. Barnhouse said, you know, those were going to be the strawberries. Did you know that? And the farmer said, oh, yes, I do know. But you see, it's well known, the first year you don't let it produce fruit, because if it produces fruit, all the strength goes into the first fruit, and the plants are weak for the rest of their lives. So the first year you pull off, and all the strength then remains in the plant, then you have good, solid fruit from then on. Self-discipline. I've heard parents say it, well, my daughter's 13, I just don't feel like I can tell her what to do anymore. Tell her what to do. Send her to us. We'll tell her what to do. Give me a break. Discipline, self-discipline must be taught. The power of the Holy Spirit. Do you reject the authority of God's Word? You're called apart. You're set aside. All of us, we are servants of the Most High. But do we reject the authority? God's Word says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Self-discipline isn't developed in us. And listen to us. When we could be getting together and praying, Samson has a real problem with sex. His sexual desires are going to near destroy him. Some of you guys may have the same problem. It'll get us all. But you know, you sit there and you say, I don't have that problem. Well, do you have it with sports? What keeps you from obeying God? Is it like sports that keeps you from getting together? Well, we just had to get to this. It was a special this. It was a special that. We had to watch. What is it? Is it the theater? What is it? Is it the arts? Is it crafts of some kind? Is it shopping? Is it simply television? Even could be foods. You notice all that list I've given you, those things are not bad in and of themselves, are they? But they can keep you from getting together with God's people, from doing the very things God has commanded us to do. Hey man, we had a special prayer meeting. We thought you'd be there. Well, we had a ball game. Samson never learned self-discipline. You know ball games aren't bad. Well, some of them are, but you know. But you think about it a moment. Look at our lack of self-discipline. How many times would you keep me on as a pastor if I didn't come in every time I was tired? I'm tired today. So I just thought, well, I didn't have time to study. Well, we'll have so-and-so share because the Spirit's leading me to have so-and-so share. Yeah, because I'm not ready. How many times would you keep an employee who just can't seem to make it to work on time? Man, you know, you're supposed to be here at 8:30. It's 10. Can you give me a clue where you've been? Well, I was tired. Tired. God bless you. There are a lot of tired people in unemployment. Visit them. And then they look at you like you are bad. If you were a Christian, you would have never said that to them and never booted them out. Boot them out. Somebody needs to teach them. Self-discipline. How do you serve God if you don't discipline yourself? Samson never learned it. I want her. Man, no, we don't agree with it. God's Word says no. I want her. You get her for me. You know something? Proverbs 16:32 says this. He that is slow to anger is better than the strong, and he that rules his spirit is better than he that controls or takes over an entire city. That could have been written to Samson. Samson is a strong man. When the Spirit of God comes upon him, he could take entire cities by himself. But he couldn't rule his own spirit. Where are you? God's word is so clear on things, and chances are good, you and I know we should be doing it, and we're not, but there's sort of a reason to it. You say, no, you're making me feel bad. Good! Isn't it time we actually, you know, somebody was talking to me earlier this week about, hey, how come we don't really get into the power gifts? You know, the sign gifts. Nobody cares about the gift of giving. Who wants it? But they always want to see the sign gifts. I said to them, let me tell you what, man. Show up and just walk with God for 24 straight hours. Just walk with Him. Just walk in obedience. It'll take every sign gift made. Plus more. Oh, and that's kind of boring. You reading your Bible? No, we went to a meeting, but I know I don't read my Bible. See? Samson is a type, listen, of believers today. Samson lacked nothing. He was separated into God from the womb. The Spirit of God came upon him. He was vicious. There was no stopping him. The Philistines could not stop this man because of the power of God. They couldn't stop him. He lacked nothing to get the job done. He's a type of you and me. We're Christians. You and I lack nothing to get the job done. The question of Jesus asks is this: I'm giving you my Holy Spirit. When the Son of Man returns, will He even find faith on the earth? Paul says, self-control. I want her. She pleases me. Get her, for she pleases my eyes. His father and his mother, they argue with him, but he wouldn't listen. Well, then Samson went down. It looks like they were going to go down. And his father and his mother to Timnath, in verse 5, and he came to the vineyards of Timnath. Now, he was supposed to stay away from grapes, but he's kind of sort of walking through. You notice how he's sort of toying with it, the temptation. Well, a young lion roared against him. Somehow, he wasn't with his family at this moment. He was all by himself. And a young lion, when it says young lion, what the idea that we have in our language is a lion in the prime of its strength. Not a baby, but in the vigor of its youth. In its strongest part of its life. And a young lion attacked him. And verse 6 says, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion. Don't read this to animal rights people, would you please? And he tore the lion as if he would have taken a baby goat and torn it. How many of you have ever been around little baby goats or sheep? They're shaky little things. They have no strength at all. He was so strong, when the lion attacked him, he tore it apart like it was a little baby lamb or a baby goat. Now, that's a strong man. He lacked nothing. The Spirit of God came mightily upon him. He tore him as he would tear a baby goat. And he had nothing in his hand. In other words, he did it with his bare hands. If you think that's simple, go ask at a zoo if you could get in the cage and fight with their old lion. An old lion. And then come back and tell me what happens. Or call us, 911, and we'll... Don't put the Lord your God to the test. Don't do that. My point is, that's a strong man when the Spirit of God came upon him. Well, he went but he didn't tell his dad and his mom what he had done. Well, he went down and he talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. Hey, everybody, normally a marriage would take place at the father's house. You'll notice this marriage is going to take place at the man's father's house. This marriage is going to take place at the woman's father's house, meaning his parents are still not in agreement with this marriage, and he's doing it anyway. How many of you today are sorry you didn't listen to the mom and dad that you had when they said they were making a mistake? Usually we're very godly and we say, well, my parents weren't Christians. God knew that. Gave them to you anyway. Didn't he? I was talking to a young lady one time and I said, do you trust God enough to let your dad pick your future husband? She goes, you're crazy. Why? Why am I crazy? Well, because he's not even saved. Who, God or your dad? I want to get this clear. No, my dad. I wouldn't let him pick a husband for me because he's not even saved. I said, then you don't trust God. Oh, yes, I do. Prove it. Got her. I said, I know why you don't want your dad to pick a husband for you. Because your dad hates you and wants to make sure he'll abuse you and beat you. And he'll drink every night. And maybe he'll tear your hair out. That's what your dad wants for you, isn't it? She said, well, no. Then why don't you trust God that much? Because they're going to pick somebody ugly. That's what we all think, isn't it? That's what we all think. My mother would pick the ugliest around. Look through the girls, pick right? That's how we think. So I, in my wisdom, will pick my own. Take a look at the divorce rate and see how well we've been doing. Samson is never going to marry this girl. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him and he tore this lion as if it were a baby goat. But he didn't tell his mom and his dad. And he went down and he talked with the woman and she pleased him well. And after a time, he returned to take her, to marry her. And he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. Behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey inside the carcass, into the bones. Do you remember a Nazarite vow? Stay away from the strong drinks, stay away from the grapes, the fruit of the vine. Remember that? Wasn't there something else? Do you remember them? Stay away from what? Dead bodies. So that you always be able to be in the presence of God at any moment. Is he breaking his little rule here? Yeah, but so what? Nobody knows. Now, didn't God say you're a Nazarite from the womb? Part of what you do is you stay away from dead bodies. Nobody knows. And there he is. And there's a swarm of bees in there. And he reaches in and he pulls out some honey. He's not supposed to touch that stuff. He's supposed to stay away from it. But he's still got his long hair, so everybody knows that's Samson. Look, he's a Nazarite. He's separated unto God. What a man of God. Isn't he holy? Hallelujah me. Praise me. He doesn't look at him. Because on the outside, it still looks like he's separated from God. But now God is letting us see on the inside. Notice, he doesn't care what his parents think. He doesn't care what God says. He's just doing his own thing. But he hasn't cut his hair. He wants you and I to know, I'm separated unto God. As a Christian, we go to church when we feel like it. We pray when it's convenient. We sort of do what God wants us to do when it's okay. And we don't like to do it if nobody notices. But see, on the inside, Jesus says to the Pharisees, on the outside, you're really nice looking. You're whitewashed. You're clean. But on the inside, you're full of dead men's bones. He says it another way. Your lips are on me. Your hearts are far away. Quotes from Isaiah when he says that. It's time when we start seeing these things come to life, it's time to look around. Look around you. We live, and when I grew up, maybe you didn't grow up in this time, some of you are younger, but when I grew up, people said that all the time, just do your own thing. Just do your own thing. If it feels good, do it. If it makes you happy, go for it. If that's your thing, fine. And then some people say, well, I'm into this. That's a common term. I'm really, me and my whole family, we're into this. And others will say, well, that's cool for you, but we're not into that. We're into this. Everybody's just doing what seems right in their own eyes. And we kind of grew up through that. And now the children that we have are worse off than we are. Because we weren't disciplined ourselves. And we're afraid to discipline them. And now the government has stepped in and said, we don't want them disciplined because we can't control them if you discipline them. How are we going to get them to be idiots if you teach them? Send them to public school. If your kids go to public school, I'm sure they're not idiots. Yet. But I'm not. Could you tell? I'm not into public schooling. If yours go there, God bless you. But I know that what's there is not designed to bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's just not. Oh, what are we going to do? I see Samson and I see our whole generation. You see ourselves when you start reading this. Are you doing what seems right to you? We keep our long hair. You know, we keep that vow of a Nazarite, at least on the outside. Hey man, where were you? Where is it? Have you noticed that if someone is not real, solid, it bugs them when you ask them why they weren't at church? Have you noticed that? It's like, I'm going to get more money or extra credit if you show up. And that doesn't happen. I don't get extra credit. Did you know that the Bible says in Malachi that God Himself takes note each time we get together? God keeps a record and He takes note each time believers get together, whether it's in a group like this or two or three, and they talk about Him and the things to do with Him. Do you know the Bible specifically says God Himself takes note? He jots it down. That's how important it is to Him. He has told us to stick together, pray, encourage one another, build each other up. We somehow have come to believe that the church is a place you go to on holidays or when things aren't going well. We have forgotten that it is the body of Jesus Christ and that's where we belong. And so many things have stepped in to keep us out of it. Sports, theater, arts, crafts, shopping, TV, foods even. What keeps you from getting together with God's people? Well, there he goes. And he, in his heart, is not separated unto God. But the outside form still looks like it. Well, he took thereof in his hands and he went eating and he came to his father and his mother and he gave them some to eat. And they ate it, but he didn't tell them where he got it. Because it wouldn't have been right for them to eat it either, knowing where it came from. Well, his father went down to the woman, and Samson made a feast, for that's the way young men used to do that. They would have a feast. Normally, the feast would take place at the young man's father's house, but his parents were not in agreement, so he had to go down to the enemy's house. And it came to pass, when they saw him, they brought 30 companions to be with him. Now, there is a sad testimony. He's down at his father-in-law-to-be's house, and he's got no friends. They got to bring 30 people to act like his friends. 30 of the Philistines. Because he shouldn't be there. And he's got no friends. And it's kind of tacky when you're at your own wedding and none of your friends come. So they give him 30 friends of theirs. And Samson said to them, you know, they're feasting. There's a lot of the idea here when it says the feast. The idea carried that they're drinking something that's alcoholic, fermented of some kind. He says, I got a riddle for you guys. If you can declare with me the riddle within the feast, within the 7 days, I'll bet every one of you a full change of clothes. There's 30 guys. I'll bet each one of you a full change of clothes. If you get it, I'll give you a change of clothes. If you can't get it, all 30 of you have to give me a full change of clothes. But if you don't declare it, you give it to me, okay? And they said to him, okay, tell us the riddle. Let's hear it. He said to them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not, in the first 3 days of the feast, they couldn't figure it out. Well, it came to pass during the 7 days, they said to Samson's wife, trick your husband. So get him to tell you the riddle so you can tell us. Or we'll burn you and your father in your house. Now there's a nice family. hey, man, we don't want to give this guy a full set of clothes. You know, clothing back then was like clothing today. It was very, very expensive. This is a huge bet. I bet you can't get it. If you can't get it, you give me 30 sets of clothes. If you do get it, I'll give each one of you a full set of clothes. That's 30 sets of clothes. Pretty big bet, Samson. And so they get her. They can't figure it out. They get her off to the side and say, we'll kill you. We'll burn you and your father in the house if you don't find out the riddle. Samson's going to learn, when you marry someone, you marry their relatives too. That sounds funny, and it's true. When you marry someone, you marry their relatives. Now you think long and hard about that, kids. Take a look. You take a look at somebody's mama. And you think, if you can't live with that, you take a look at someone's dad. And if you can't live with that, you think hard. Because, see, Samson's parents were thinking about that. But, see, Samson wasn't. She pleases me. Now Samson's learned she's got some pretty treacherous family. These are violent people. They're mean. Well, they said, we're going to burn you. You called us here to make fun of us. And Samson's wife wept. She cried. By the way, the Bible says here the idea that she cried almost all 7 days. She crept and she said, you hate me. You don't love me. Have you tried that one? When things are really going bad? When you really wanted something new and you... People say you can't afford it. Someone looks and goes, if you love me, you buy me one of those. Oh, love is now buying you a car, huh? This is a trick. It's been used by a lot of people. I see young girls using it very well today. And I want you guys to know, and you girls to know, this is a trick. Crying is a trick. And you can see many times when it's real. And you can see when it's Samson's wife crying, you don't love me, you love me, you tell me the riddle. What do you need to know the riddle for? Well, you just don't love me. She said, you don't love me. You put forth a riddle to the children of my people and you haven't told me. And Samson said, I haven't even told my dad yet. Why should I tell you? Well, she cried before him all 7 days. While the feast lasted. And it came to pass on the seventh day. He told her because he couldn't stand the crying any longer. You see that? Because she lay sore upon him. He couldn't stand the crying anymore. It just drove him so bad. He said, I got to tell this person just to stop this, to shut this up. And she told the riddle to her relatives, to her people. And the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day, they said, here's the answer. We figured it out. What is it? Well, what's sweeter than honey and what's stronger than a lion? And Samson says this, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you would have not found out my riddle. All he was saying, this is not an insult to the girl, all he was saying was, if you hadn't messed around with my wife and conned her into crying, now I see why she'd been crying for 7 days, you would not know the riddle. You've cheated me. Samson, you deserve it. You do not belong there. You have no business being around the drinking of the wine. You're supposed to stay away. You had no business even coming up with this. You should have stayed away from that. You have brought every bit of this on yourself. Now, Christian, look at today and look at your life and look what's going on around you and say, Lord, have I brought this on myself? Well, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And he went down to Ashkelon, another city, and he killed 30 men. Now this is a strong man. The Spirit of God came upon him and he killed 30 men to take their clothes and gave the change of garments unto those which told him the riddle. And his anger was kindled and he went to his father's home, but Samson's wife was given to the best man who he was using as his friend. He didn't marry her. This is the one that pleased me. She was given to the best man. Listen, you paid for all the decorations. You had a big party. Everybody got loaded. Who's going to pay for... I mean, if you're going to put out this kind of money, she might as well marry somebody. And nobody really cares who she's going to marry anyway, right? So, she marries the best man. Samson doesn't know that at this time. He's going to find out later and it's going to cause some trouble. Samson doesn't belong. Now, Samson lacked nothing. And that's the type of you and I today. The question always, before we share communion together, the question always, where are you? I have to answer that question. Where am I? Where are you? Do you look like a Christian on the outside so that if others see, oh yeah, that's Samson. Look, he's still got his long hair. Man, he's still a Nazarite. When he cuts his hair, he's no longer separated unto God. The sign, the outward sign that you were separated unto God is you got long hair. So as long as he's got long hair, nobody really knows that he is cheating. He has broken his vows. He is not serving the Lord as God. He is fake. Is that how you are living in the Christian world? Samson lacked nothing. He had the calling and he had the Spirit of God. He is an example of believers today. Colossians 2, 9 and 10 says this. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. For in him, Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. You are complete in him. Colossians 3, 3. Says, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Samson is a type of a believer. He's got the calling and he's got the Spirit of God. And we're told that we are in Christ. Well, here's a little example that you see in some cheaper bookstores. This piece of paper I put in my Bible and I close my Bible. Now, the paper in the King James language is in Bible. The Bible says, I am in Christ. Where's the paper? In Bible. Is that true? You saw me put it there. How do I get to it? If I want to deal with the paper, what do I have to do? I have to handle the Bible, don't I? Because the paper's in Bible. I am in Christ. If you want to handle me or deal with me, what do you have to do? You have to handle or deal with Jesus Christ first. When God looks at me, He looks at me in Christ. That's forgiven. The paper is in Bible. If I want to get to it and use it, or whatever I need to do to it, it's in the Bible. There it is. That's what the Bible is saying. That's what God's Word is saying. That's what we're told. You and I are in Christ, and in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. We are in Christ. Are you living it? What I hear is justification. Well, every once in a while I just need a break. How many times have you ever said, I need a break away from God? And when you said it, did you stop and think what you just said? Where can I go to get away from you? The psalmist said, if I go up into the stars, you're there. If I go into the lower parts of the earth, you're there. Everywhere I go, you're there because God is everywhere. Now, how do you intend to take a break from God? It can't be done. What kind of thinking, then, is involved if I say to you, I need a break from God. What kind of thinking is that? It's not even logical. What kind of thinking is involved with me saying, you know, I know what God says. I know what the counselors are telling me to do, but I don't know if I'm going to do it anyway. I mean, I don't want them to think they talked me into it. What kind of thinking is that? Pride. True? You know what God says. You seek out the wisdom of counselors. You listen closely to what God says. You either do it or you don't. If you don't do it, you're disobedient to God. Samson is disobedient to God. He had no self-control, no self-discipline. And Samuel is going to say it to Saul. In just a few chapters in 1 Samuel, Saul is going to say, I obeyed God. And Samuel is going to say, no, you didn't. And then Samuel is going to say to Saul, as he says to all of us, to obey is better than sacrifice. To listen to him and to do the things he has called me to do is better than sacrifice. God isn't interested in the blood of goats. God wants me. He sent his only begotten son to die for me. He doesn't want what I have. He wants my heart. Have you given him your heart? Do you really want to walk with him? You will see a sturdiness in you, and so will others, when you begin to walk in Jesus Christ. Really. No show, but to walk in Jesus Christ humbly with your God. That's what I believe, before we take communion now, that's what I believe the world needs to see. I believe that's what we're missing. We've got the lightning and the thunder. We've got the strong winds, but nobody's hearing that still, small voice any longer. They just want to see the lightning and the thunder some more because it's cool. It's kind of like fireworks. Nobody wants to listen to God. And so, though they keep their long hair like a Nazirite, their hearts are far from him. Don't be that way. We're going to share communion together. We learn from Samson. When I read about Samson, I see things that I'm doing wrong. You learn from Samson. Ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit as we wait for communion. Ask God to change your heart. If other things are keeping you from other believers, you're tired, work, whatever it is, I don't know, it's only you would know what it is. You know something? As I started, I said, teach us to number our days. I don't think we understand that our time is short and we're going to be sorry. We're going to be sorry that we didn't give more to the Lord. We're going to be sorry that we didn't do the things He called us to. No, we're saved. It's by grace. We lose rewards. We're not going to be judged for sin. We just lose our rewards. I know I'm going to be sorry that I didn't spend more time with God's people. I know that. You can just see. Don't get there and say, oh, I wish I had. From tonight forward, turn yourself over and stay with Him. You've got the calling and you've got the Holy Spirit. You lack nothing to do this job. Let's bow our heads together as we get ready to share communion.